This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now is not the time to be mad or pissed at Miles. Years ago, if you wanted to be mad or pissed at him, that's when it was. He's 9 years into the league, guys. He's never changed. He is who he is. He's a sack machine. He's a fair enough guy. He just ain't a leader. He's the best player on your team, so that's why he gets a C on his chest, but that's it. But C's are meaningless here. They took it off of Nick Chubb. They gave it to Deshaun Watson. Is Deshaun Watson a leader? Hell no. So what's it matter?
Oh, wait a second.
What's it matter?
Is Deshaun at voluntary OTAs?
I don't know, Anthony. You're going to have to find out from somebody. I have no idea, Tone. Hey, man, if Nick's upset about it, I'm glad he's upset about it. Did you feel jerked around by Miles during the offseason?
Maybe you did.
Just because you had to go through the whole, because it did make it feel a little bit worse. Like, hey, because I did say, like, welcome to the rebuild, because I thought that they were just going to have to trade him. I didn't know that they were going to try to hold on to him and try to do two things at once, which was try to compete and also develop quarterbacks and try to get younger here and dig out of this hole that is the Deshaun Watson contract again, who they put the C on his chest for.
I will say this. I did notice that there's a contingent of fans, and this happens in every fan base. They get mad that the media brings up who is at OTAs, brings up attendance at all. I do notice there are fans that get mad at us for even talking about it.
I think in some positions, it's extremely important.
But, well, yeah, okay, so explain.
I think at quarterback, it's obviously extremely important. Yeah. If I were a Steelers fan right now, and it's the same thing when Aaron Rodgers elected to go to Egypt instead of, what was it, right, the OTAs or the camp. Either way, it's not the right move. For a guy who's supposed to be all in, that's not the right move.
Well,
you're a quarterback.
Most especially if you've never been there before, yes, and you're working with either, yes, new assistants or just a new coaching staff for you, yeah, because you're new. But I do notice this gets brought up from time to time. Why do you guys wait? Super Bowls aren't won and lost in OTAs. But then there are also the fans.
I think the Philadelphia Eagles certainly believe that Super Bowls are won and lost in OTAs. I don't know. My team's never been to a Super Bowl, so, well, I wouldn't know yet.
It is funny because I noticed Minnesota Vikings, you know, I follow one of their beat writers, and he was noting that everybody was at Minnesota's OTAs. Like, they got 1,000%. Everybody was there. And I noticed the responses were culture. That's why we have the culture that we have. Love this. Love that our coach has established this. So, if Kevin Stefanski came on today and said, actually, today, day three, right? Because yesterday was day two. Day three, everybody showed up. Wouldn't fans say, oh, okay. Wouldn't fans start to say, wow, that's good. That's, maybe we are building something. So you, like, can't have it both ways. You can't rip the media for bringing up attendance, but then be the first to pounce on, hey, everybody's here. Look, Myles Garrett got on a jet and he showed up because of what, yeah, was said yesterday. Like, you got to make up your mind whether you think it matters at all or not.
I think when people don't want to hear something that could be taken as bad news for the future, then they're going to rip people for bringing it up. I think that being at OTAs, if OTAs weren't important, then they just wouldn't have them. The CBA would fight against them. The players union would fight against them.
What if Kevin Stefanski was going to give a press conference today and media's kind of showing up going, well, it's easy to get a parking spot today. Oh, actually, nobody showed up. 0% showed up to voluntary OTAs. Wouldn't fans be a little alarmed that nobody showed up?
I think that would probably be a problem there.
So,
but I think that
we're just crafting opinions,
yeah,
based on what makes us feel better.
Like, I'm hearing some things, and I'm going to get to the phones. 216-474-0092. Should Miles be at OTAs? Can Miles still be a leader? That horse to me left the barn years ago. I don't expect leadership out of Miles Garrett. I expect sacks out of Miles Garrett. That's what I expect. And so far, he gives me what I expect. So am I going to rip his play on the field? Mm-mm. The whole thing about Mason Graham will end up being a better player because he's playing next to Miles Garrett. I'm sure that Myles Garrett isn't going to turn his back and shun Mason Graham if Mason has any questions. So I tend to agree with what Peterlin says, but I just want to look at the common sense of what this is and say Mason Graham is going to be playing against an all-time great defensive player, or playing with an all-time great defensive player. That should open up opportunities for Mason Graham. On the other side of him, Obo Okoronkwo, Isaiah McGuire, it should open up opportunities for those guys. But if Miles goes out there and starts to put in a poor performance, then yeah, it's going to be open season. But until he does that, he goes out there, he sacks guys 14 to 16 to 18 times a year, whatever the numbers are. He is the best defensive player that we've had in the history of the franchise. He has been every bit the number one overall pick that you took. You did not take him for leadership. I don't believe that that was ever a big type thing that they were looking at. And if it was, then maybe it was just lip service for the fan base. And that was it. Saying that it was the Cleveland-Canton thing, I don't know. It seemed that everybody agreed with him over Andrew Berry over that. That was the wrong thing for Andrew Berry to say because it seemed like it was a line in the sand. And he knows as much as anybody. It's a zero-sum game. You either have him or you don't. So I really felt that they were going to, when he made that decision to go public with it, I just thought that they were going to say, damn the torpedoes, eat the terrible, terrible, terrible dead cap space on that and trade him for first round picks that they would be able to get from him. Now, I mean, it was a very, very, very difficult contract to move before. Now it's impossible to move. So now you have him. Okay, well, he knows that. He knows that. And you can watch him like a hawk all year. If he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, go ahead. 216-474-0092 every Monday morning. Rip him up and down. Rip him up. If he goes out there and he has a poor performance, rip him up and down. Well, but I'm not going to say, well, he told me this and then he didn't do this as a leader. He's never told me anything that says he's going to be a great leader on this football team because he never has been. I don't expect that from him. It's been 9 seasons. The leopard doesn't change his spots. Sorry. Some guys, they get closer to the end of the line, and leadership means more. Personal ownership of the organization that they're a big part of means more. Ain't that guy. He ain't that guy. He's in Tokyo now. He's traveling abroad. Okay, as long as you show up and play exceedingly well like you have been your entire career, that's what I expect. That's what the Browns have paid you for. But they ain't paying him to be Ray Lewis in the locker room. They ain't paying him to be Walter Payton and to get everybody up on the hill and have them running around. Name all the other great leaders that we've seen in the NFL in history. They're not paying him to be any one of those other guys. They're paying him to go out there and sack the quarterback and turn second and one and a third and long and get this defense off the field. That's what they're doing. 216-474-0092. And I know that they said that, well, maybe we expect a little bit more leadership out of him. I'm sure they said that to make it look better. There's no way that they expected anything more when they signed him. Not a chance. Ernie in Old Brooklyn, you're next up on the Fan.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
Myles Garrett should be at those OTAs. The coaches should not make these voluntary. They should be mandatory. They're not going to get any place to a Super Bowl by having voluntary workouts. They've got to be mandatory, and the coaches have to start toughening up on this
situation.
Yeah,
it's a CBA thing, isn't it?
Well, that's a league union, or that's a players union situation. Minicamp is mandatory. That's why they have mandatory in the name. But OTAs, those are voluntary, yes.
Well, still, Myles Garrett should be there along with all the other veterans. That shows that they want to win, and by them skipping out on those OTAs, they're not doing themselves a favor. They're doing other teams a favor.
Ernie,
they need to practice and work together.
Hey, if this was a team that had Super Bowl aspirations, I agree with you, Ernie. Thank you very much for the call, but they're not. And again, their leadership is going to come from other people on that football team. It's not going to come from Myles Garrett. I'm sorry. And you've kind of already set yourself down the river with what you've done at the position of quarterback or at the position of captain in previous moves. Because I don't know, for guys who have been here for a long time, I don't know how much captain means to them. I don't know how much that means. You know, there's always the big story about, you know, who wears number 11 at Penn State, who gets to wear certain jerseys, why it's a big deal, why it's a big reason to be a captain with certain teams in college football and things like that, why it's a big deal to be a captain of the New York Yankees, for crying out loud. This, I mean, good God, again, they took it from Nick Chubb, they put it on Deshaun Watson. I don't know what captain means to this group of veterans. I think it's just something that that's put on a jersey. You got to have your captains, and they put them on their best players. Except in one big situation there. 216-474-0092. Ryland in Cleveland. You're next up on the Fan.
How you doing, man? I feel that, yeah, Myles Garrett is not looking to be a leader maybe, but he definitely needs to show up to any and everything, because if he doesn't want to be a leader, he is a leader, though, just because of his name and his stats and everything like that. You know, he may not be paid to be a leader, but he needs, because it's a team sport. You can't just be out in Tokyo and expect you to Super Bowl in the next upcoming season, and you're not even with the team that's trying to.
But frankly,
you know,
this is tough. Ryland, I would say in Miles' heart of hearts, I don't think he expects them to be in a Super Bowl.
Right. Every player wants to be in the Super Bowl, you know? Yeah,
they'll take it if they had the choice. If it were that easy.
I think that there are guys, Ryland, like I think that there are guys, and there may be guys on that football team who would do terrible things for that football team to be in a Super Bowl. I don't think Miles is one of them. I think Miles believes that if he goes out there, and Ryland, thank you very much for the call. If he goes out there and he gets his X amount of sacks and is in that conversation for Defensive Player of the Year, I've done my job. The rest of you do yours. That's where I think it is. I don't think that he's going to get everybody together and start. We did this with who was Anthony Walker Jr. I'm sorry, Lima. We knew there was a problem years ago with Anthony Walker Jr. Why is Anthony Walker Jr. doing a weekly press conference over the state of the defense? It was him on a series of 1-year contracts talking about the defense. You knew there was a problem then. Veteran presence. Sorry, was he not on his first big contract? Miles was?
So here's what I always wonder when it comes to Miles.
Nothing's changed.
Miles clearly has, you know, his group of guys that he associates with, maybe friends that are on the football team. And it's day one, and on day one, he's showing that he is very far away. A lot of people were drawing conclusions that it was intentional, that there was a symbolic nature of him showing.
Oh, yeah, somebody tweeted at me that it was a bleep you to the Browns. I go, no, it wasn't. He wanted to go on vacation. I don't think there was anything of a bleep you to the Browns. He signed his contract. I don't believe that the Browns signed him to an extension believing that he was all of a sudden going to be, it was going to be rah-rah and everybody was going to have to rally around Miles.
Well,
I don't think that for a second.
Because I saw that opinion too. Like there's a symbolic nature here. He is, you know, rubbing their nose in it. Like what does that accomplish? What does he get? Like this was the team that gave him all the money. Then he earned it. I mean, he absolutely earned all the money, but this is the team that did it. You would think like, okay, maybe I'm just not going to do everything I can to show everybody in the world that I am not where my teammates are.
But you know
my
what?
My teammates are here. They're at least, granted, it's not the hardest work in the world. Voluntary minicamp, you guys saw the it's essentially a glorified walkthrough. I mean, the 7-on-7 passes that I saw Shador throwing and into the end zone that people were celebrating. I'm like, all right, this is the furthest away from actual football I can imagine.
But I tell you what does justify a lot of their frustrations here. Like, I thought the time to be actually mad over this was years ago, if you wanted to course correct any of this. But frankly, I think what's very frustrating for a lot of fans is that the fans themselves, the guys driving to work right now, the women who are Browns fans, it feels like they take it more seriously than they do. That they take it winning more seriously than the players on the football team do when they see stories like that. When they have to get their highest paid player, one of their highest paid players technically, to OTAs when he ain't going to be at OTAs. And it bothers them. To hear that is a bothersome thing going into a season. I don't know if this is a fat story, but I still think that this is a story of love and intrigue and a sandwich. So I got a club sandwich. It would have been on Tuesday. And I ate half of it, and I had half of it left over. Club sandwiches are pretty big, you know? And I had it left over, and it was in the fridge. I was looking forward to that club sandwich all morning yesterday morning. And I'm like, I'm going to hurry home after this. I have an interview with Dan Dockich. And then after that interview with Dan Dockich, I'm going to eat that club sandwich, Tom. And I went to the fridge after the interview with Dan Dockich, and I picked up like the styrofoam to-go container. And I'm like, this feels a little light. And I opened it up, and half the sandwich is gone. And, you know, Liz, she's at home, and I go,
Why'd you eat half the sandwich? She goes, well, you let me eat it last time. I go, that was last time. You didn't text me. I've been looking forward to this sandwich all day. And she was miffed that I would even question these things.
Yeah, but I'd be miffed that the sandwich was gone that you were all excited about eating.
You didn't get me. I said, you didn't let me make plans. I would have made different arrangements. I'd have let you eat the entire sandwich had you had texted me and let me know.
Well, so you're down to a quarter sandwich?
Yes.
Now, what's the point?
And so I take the sandwich.
It's not even an appetizer.
And then she does that thing where she just basically, exactly. Thank you very much. She does that thing where she basically just like flippantly waves her fingers at me and that's it. And she's like, I got to go take a shower. Okay.
Well, after that quarter sandwich,
I'll just sit here with my snack now.
Can't even get the meat sweats with a quarter.
Exactly. I mean, it's turkey, it's bacon, it's a club. It's great. I put it on this paper plate. And I go to throw the styrofoam container away because with the bit of sandwich I have left, I want to put the mayo, I want to put the mayonnaise next to each other. I mean, I really want to enjoy what the quarter of this sandwich that I have left is because I'm already trying to just deal with this and enjoy because I ain't going back out to go get something else. And as I go, I don't know how it happened. I don't know if there's ghosts in the house, whatever, that knocked it out of my hand. The quarter sandwich just falls off the paper plate and it's all over the floor. Look at how they massacred my boy. And it's just one, there's nobody else home except for my wife and the dog. And it's just one F-bomb after another. I mean, every cuss word, most cuss words that you can think of, I'm using in that moment. And she's looking at me like I'm the psycho. And I go, I went from looking forward to this sandwich all morning.
Now you're destitute.
To half the sandwich. Nothing. And now it's inedible. It's right next to the trash can, so I'm not, as much as people think because I'm fat that I'm a slob, I am not a slob. If anything, I'm a neat freak, in so many words.
It was just a half a sandwich.
Remember, it's a quarter of a sandwich, so the quarter of the sandwich falls on the floor. If it had fallen on the other side of the kitchen, I might have tried to retrieve, except it's a club. It all fell apart. There's turkey laying on the floor. There's other bits of it, innards laying on the floor.
It didn't have the pick.
And then,
didn't have the toothpick.
It didn't have the toothpick in it. And it was by the trash can.
Frilly thing on top.
Yeah.
So I just assume there's a circumference around the trash can of things you can't touch. Like
no,
anytime.
That's high traffic area.
Anytime my fingers come anywhere near the trash can, it's washed. I wash my hands more than probably some doctors over at Cleveland Clinic a day. And I was just so downtrodden and distraught over this sandwich. And she couldn't understand why I was losing my mind. I mean, it was F this, F that, all the things that you could think
she
of.
She had no idea the chain of events that she set off. Words.
And then all of a sudden, I'm the bad guy here. You ate the other half of my sandwich, the other quarter of my sandwich that I was going to eat. And then I couldn't even eat the club because I dropped on the floor.
Did you at least rub it in to ask her, hey, how was it? How was
the sandwich? Oh, no, because I go, what else is there to eat? Oh, yeah, you didn't order groceries yet, did you? So now I'm just going to sit there and look. I did throw this at her, which probably I shouldn't, but to hell with it. I open up the refrigerator door and she goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm going to stand here and stare at the stuff that I dream was in my refrigerator right now. That's what I'm going to do because half of my sandwich was already eaten and the other half is on the floor that the dog's trying to pick up right now by the garbage. Thank you very much.
Did you go over and start making a peanut butter and jelly just to really rub it in like this?
You've got to make a peanut butter and jelly club.
I should have started doing what the kids do in Peter Pan, where they start fake eating the sandwiches and the food, the fake food, the imaginary make-believe food like in Hook. That's what I should have done.
Are you expecting an apology?
No, it's over now. I'm not going to carry a grudge over that, but it's not the fattest story I've ever told, but my God, I was looking forward to
eating
that damn
thing. Too bad you didn't have any of the ramen boxes from downstairs.
You can't eat any of the ramen from downstairs in the middle of the day. It's too much sodium in the middle of the day. Guys, I am starting to get a little bit older
really
here.
Driven like, at home. Like, this is what I'm left with.
There was a time, guys, no one's going to believe me because of how I look. There was a time where, yeah, you know what? You could have Taco Bell in the middle of the day and keep on trucking. You could have a great big double Whopper and just keep on moving throughout your day. Nah, man, it's club sandwiches, it's about as heavy as it gets. Like, I can't even have fries on the side anymore. It's just like, well, the rest of my day is done. Everything that I had for the afternoon, done. Baseball practice, ain't going to be able to make it. I got to lay here on this couch and let all this digest. So if I'm going to eat anything there's dinner food and there's lunch food now. There's no It used to all mix. Now it's all different because, you know, you get a little older and
you get
tired and here you are.
It's a more sophisticated palate too. In your mind, you can't cross, like, hey, it's breakfast for lunch or breakfast for dinner. No. You start to really categorize.
Yeah.
You put up boundaries.
Like, I'll get food here, and, like, if I eat the sausage, I'll get sweaty and, like, get that greasy feeling from the sausage. I'm like, oh, I can't eat in the sausage.
Lima, are you trying?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And tell me my Cheeto breakfast isn't the way to go.
Hey, sometimes I do get a little envious.
Hey, God bless you, because I can't do it.
I've debated
asking you. And I'm bigger than you, and I can't do it. Just letting you know, God bless you.
I don't do it every day anymore.
You are a man of men. Mary-Kate Cabot, 822 this morning. I was going to bring up DeAndre Hunter's Instagram, but Mitch isn't here to talk about it, so to hell with it. All right, there was a report from Cleveland.com. Let me get back to the Miles thing here in a minute. Can I just say this one thing? You are in a rock and a hard place if you're a fan. I think there's fans that right now I'm looking at it, they're mad at me here. Because, you know, I'm telling them, like, hey, it ain't a big deal about Myles Garrett. Well, they want their feelings justified for this because this team, it's not like this team has been a juggernaut. So they're not in a position to overlook, like, hey, so-and-so didn't come, but it's no big deal because we're still a great franchise. So-and-so wasn't here. Because I think for a lot of fans, they sit there and you think, you know, you've told me all these things aren't a big deal, but they've never been good. They must be a big deal. If all these things that you keep telling me isn't a big issue with this football team and that you just want to sweep under the rug, Kenny, isn't a big deal, then why aren't they in the Super Bowl every year? Which is a valid point. I think it bothers a lot of fans that when they hear me, and I have to respect these feelings. When they hear me say, hey, Miles is who he is. He's never been different. He'll never change. This is year 9. I think they go, why do I take winning more seriously than our greatest player? And I still have to look at them dead in the eye and be dead serious about this. And in the words of Zach Jackson, the 22 Solomons line, would I rather have one Myles Garrett or 22 Scott Solomons? Scott Solomon loved football. Scott Solomon, well, they had nicknames for him, and Mike Pettine loved him because he was a guy on that football team back then that took the game seriously.
They'd show up to the
and
OTAs.
Love the game and would show up to the OTAs and do everything he possibly could. And that's why Mike Pettine loves Scott Solomon, because you know what? If anything, I'm going to get an effort out of this guy. You know who does that? Frankly, high school coaches do that because they know they don't have enough. They know they don't have enough talent, so they have to bring somebody in that they know is going to be a dog for them. Miles, I'd still rather have one Miles in the NFL than 22 Solomons. You need a Solomon. You need a couple of guys to be that way. But if your overall best player ain't that way, sorry, you're going to have to do with what you did, because they weren't going to take anybody because of their attitude at number one overall over Myles Garrett. That's what you're stuck with in this league, because you can either beat the guy to the spot or you can't. And if you have a great attitude, it helps. But if it doesn't,
we've weighed in. We've been like, all right, quarterbacks, they got to be there. Pass rusher like Myles Garrett with his track record.
I think it's quarterbacks and everybody else you'd like to be there.
What about Diontae Johnson?
Is there a reason he wasn't there? I just want to know if there was a reason before I go shoot my mouth off.
You want to cover us in case there was like a death in the family and you don't want us to look stupid.
Because I was checking my phone. I was texting people and I can't get an answer yet.
Because we were both in the same thing. We could not believe that a guy on his last legs, maybe his last opportunity in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then we saw it was either Daryl or Mary Kay like, oh, by the way, Diontae Johnson is not there. And we're like, what?
Until I know exactly what happened. Because I would just assume that if he could be there, he'd be there because this is your last chance
in
the league.
Like, you would imagine his agent was like, hey, I got you this opportunity with the Browns. The other AFC North opportunities didn't really work out. This could be it, Diontae. Like, we think we have exhausted every opportunity. I've looked in my Rolodex. I've called every GM. We found someone who gave you an opportunity. All you have to do, Diontae, is be a good soldier and let people see that your talent is there. and it'll win out. We found a team that needs wide receiver help. We found a team that has not drafted wide receivers well at all. They have a blind spot. We have you in here, somebody who has caught over 100 catches in a year, 100 balls in a year, who has had a 1,000-yard year, who still has a talent. You're 28. It's not like you're athletically washed. Like, come on, Deontay, just all you have to do is show up, smile.
But
if they ask you to do any videos, just do them. If they ask you to do any local radio interviews, just do them. You're at Toledo. You went to Toledo. Like, come on. That's all you... The bare minimum is that we just ask you to go to the voluntary, and he wasn't there.
I understand. I just want to know if something had gotten... If life got in the way for whatever reason before we go shooting our mouth off over him.
Family emergencies.
Because if it did, you're going to feel bad.
Yeah,
so
I would.
Just be careful.
I would genuinely feel bad if that were the case.
All right.
But if we find out a day from now that none of that is true, he's just enjoying his life... Probably not a Cleveland Brown going forward, right?
I texted everybody I could.
I know you can't cut a guy for not going, because that's the definition of the CBA. Like, you can literally not cut a guy for not showing up to voluntary minicamp, right? Voluntary workouts.
No, it's voluntary.
You can't cut a guy. But there are 1,000 other reasons you can cut a guy, and I'm sure the Browns could find one of those other. This would be a very easy one that I think everybody would understand.
There you go. If I'm not saying anything until I know. If I know, then maybe I'll take the gloves off. But until then, I'm not.
I will be happy, Kenny, to set the record straight.
I was just surprised myself.
And to be corrected.
All right. Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 8:22. I'll be happy to correct you if there needs to be correction, because I ain't saying any of that stuff. I want to play the Joe Flacco audio coming up at 7:45. However, Cleveland.com had a report that Jared Allen and Darius Garland are not untouchable for possible moves this offseason. That is a pretty significant report, considering it is coming from Cleveland.com. I think that they're not untouchable. This is interesting that they're letting it be known that they're not untouchable. So now you're open for business. So he could say whatever he wanted to. Kobe Altman can 2 weeks ago in the press briefings, but he had to. This being out there, he's putting it out there that, hey, there's moves that we might be open to if you are willing to come together with some of these moves. I think that's exciting for Cavs fans. I also think that's a little bit nerve-wracking for Cavs fans as well, because I don't want them to make a move that ends up being short-sighted because they feel they need to shake it up. I think that if there's a move that's prudent, and I don't know what it is. That's why I hate Tradio so much, because I don't know until we get to the end of the finals coming up here in a couple of weeks. I don't know how this is all going to break. I think that the Celtics are going to do some things differently here. I think the Warriors can do some things differently here, even though that they just went out and they got Jimmy Butler during the season. There's going to be moves that these teams make. I think the Cavs could be one of them, but I don't know necessarily who's going to be available. And there's only, when we talk about some of these players, Anthony, until I know who they are, I can't speak to them yet, because there's only a certain amount of players that I think I would give up Jared Allen, Darius Garland, both for. So I don't. It puts me in a tough position, Anthony, because I don't know yet necessarily who's going to be open. And we've talked about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Okay, well, either one of those guys ain't going to be there for just Giannis.
My first issue is how we talk about the term to begin with. Untouchable.
Okay.
In the three professional sports, how many guys are untouchable? Because I can guarantee you the Cavs don't have anybody under my definition of untouchable, which is category, untouchable. List of players, Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes.
How many other guys in sports are Shohei?
Mahomes, Wemby, Shohei.
And I don't even know, because in baseball, if I could realistically trade one player for a bunch of... Because in baseball, one amazing player doesn't really do anything for you in baseball the way that a team full of... Like, I would argue in baseball, nobody's untouchable either. I would say Patrick Mahomes, and I don't know anything about hockey... So I would say Patrick Mahomes in the sport is the only guy to, even like Wembanyama. Wembanyama's
Josh Allen? Josh Allen?
Ooh.
Josh Allen's pretty untouchable.
Well, no, I would trade him for Patrick Mahomes. So he's not untouchable.
Yeah, damn it. That's
like,
true.
I just think it's the silliest of terms.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because right now, there are guys I would trade Donovan Mitchell for. So therefore, he is not untouchable. Wemby, we just signed off. I mean, Wemby, Mobley. We just signed off on a Mobley for Giannis. Therefore, he is not untouchable. At least me and you have. I know not everybody has.
Yes.
So it's a silly phrase. Like, there's no way Kobe Altman, but it's if he got a phone call.
But when you say untouchable, it's a public statement that you really don't want to ever trade that guy. When you say they're not untouchable, it's like, hey, we're open for business. Go ahead and make us a call. Like, that's how I took that when I read that. Like, hey, Darius Garland, that we're open now.
Yeah. Well, he should have always been open.
We're open now.
You should have always been open for trading Jared Allen, especially on his team-friendly
deal.
They
weren't last year.
You should have always been open for trading Darius Garland if it made sense.
They were not.
Yeah, last year I had Darius Garland as my 17th best point guard in the league. This year, he's moved up. He had a great year.
He's moved up the Lima rankings, thank God.
He moved up the rankings, but there's still a ton of guys I'd rather have than Darius Garland. So he was never untouchable. That was always dumb to assume that he was an untouchable player. So just sports fans in general, don't listen to GMs or reports on GMs when it comes to untouchable. Because our list today of untouchable players in sports, it included how many guys? We came up with one. Patrick Mahomes. Scottie Scheffler. Maybe the other one who's untouchable. I would not trade Scottie Scheffler for a bunch of LIV players. He'd be untouchable.
Really?
Anybody else?
So if they put... now I'm starting to think about it. If you had like three LIV golfers, you wouldn't trade him for one Scottie Scheffler?
You'll have the break. In fact, I'll give you to 8 o'clock. Give me your list. Give me your list of untouchable guys in sports, not even the NBA, because sure as hell, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, they were never untouchable.
Finally, list radio.
Also at 8.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Also at 8, the
Summer List Radio.
He's been vocal in the past about it's not my job to be a mentor.
No.
Nope. But it happens naturally, and sometimes he feels like, you know, he gets, you know, we play gotcha with him on that. What do you make of that whole, why is it such a big deal for a veteran quarterback to see themselves as a mentor or whatever that is?
Yeah, I don't really know how to answer that question. Like I said, it's open dialogue in the quarterback room where he's not a coach, but you know you have so much respect for his time in the NFL where you're asking questions. He'll ask you questions of what I saw when he was in there. It goes both ways, vice versa. So not a coach, but he's an awesome guy to have in the room to really talk through this system that he's been in before, especially.
I'm going to tell you right now, you can only play one, and this has no bottom line on where their win-loss record is going to be at the end of the year. I already love this quarterback room. Love it. Because you can tell Kenny Pickett has talked to Joe Flacco, and he knows that Joe Flacco absolutely hates this whole mentor conversation. Mentor conversation. I don't want to upset the fine folks in Mentor, Ohio. I'm sure that Joe Flacco would like his time. I was just up in Mentor on Tuesday. It was a wonderful town. Wonderful town. The one fast food restaurant. Had a little bit of a problem getting their grill started, but other than that, everything was good. Kenny Pickett knows, because you could tell with Joe, like when they first signed Joe, they made him available for media. We had Joe on, and you could tell he was already sick and tired of hearing about the mentorship conversation, him being old, all that stuff. I think he's a really competitive guy. And I respect him certainly for it, because I think you can take it one of two ways. If you are a fanboy for a young quarterback, you can definitely turn him into, he sabotaged my guy. Like those weirdo Manziel fans were doing some years ago about Brian Hoyer, of all things, where like Manziel wasn't sabotaging himself with his own life. You can also take it as if this is a guy who, if he just wants to be a mentor, is he going to be competitive? Because frankly, I did not think I think Jake DeLome was here for a paycheck. At the end of his career. I'm not trying to be mean spirit. I just don't think that he was really had his heart in it anymore. And I think that was kind of it. And maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I am. But that's just kind of how I felt about it, observing him. Here's Joe Flacco himself on being a mentor versus not being a mentor and saying he can't give you guys an answer that you're going to like.
If I say I don't want to be a mentor, I look bad. If I say I do want to be a mentor, then I look like an idiot that doesn't care about being good and playing ball. So it's one of those questions that no matter what I say, you guys write what you want to write about it. And there's a lot of questions like that. That's why you end up having to try to avoid them. I tend to try to be honest. And I've said, I'm not a mentor. I play football. And in a quarterback room, there's a lot of times already, there's been already a ton of times where there's learning experiences, and I have a lot of experience, and I can talk on things, and hopefully they listen. But it's not necessarily like my job to like make sure they listen to me. And, you know, hey, like hopefully you have a really good relationship with the guys that are in the room, and you naturally want to do that.
I mean, this is, I don't think that people like it when they equate our own personal careers to professional sports, because I don't know if it always lands. Owen knows this very well. You might not. This is one situation in our lives where Owen would know better than you. I did have a situation where there was a guy like, I ain't changing his diapers, talking to me personally. And I respected him for that, and I took it as a challenge, and I wish I could reach out to him now, because I would tell him I learned a lot from him just keeping my ears open and my eyes open and trying to learn everything that he did. And he was a very, very competitive guy in doing what we do. And I look at that situation, I go, boy, you guys better keep your ears open and keep your eyes open and be paying attention to everything that he does, because he's trying to be a starter in the NFL still. He is a competitive individual, and I salute him for it, and I think Browns fans should be excited about that, because at least you got guys who are competitive who want to be in that spot. I think Dylan Gabriel wants to. You know Shedeur Sanders wants to. Excuse me. You know Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders want to, and you know Kenny Pickett wants to. The guy you would question is the 40-year-old who's made hundreds of millions of dollars and has been a Super Bowl MVP and has won the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. That's the guy you would question. There ain't nothing that guy says that tells you that he doesn't want to be the starter for this football team. This is actually exciting. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to win 11 games or 12 games or anything like that. They could still go out there and be a giant fart. However, this is at least exciting where you got four guys who seem to want a piece of the job and want to be able to do it. He went a little bit further, real quick. He went a little bit further about how being a mentor is not his focus.
You're acting like I wouldn't want to be a mentor. It's not really about that. It's just not the main focus. I see myself as a guy that can play in this league. So if your main focus was just like, hey, bud, I'm going to get you ready, you're just not taking care of business. The best way to be a mentor, honestly, is like show people how you go to work, you know? And like I said, hope that they pick up on that stuff, but not necessarily force them to pick up on the things that you do.
I think he knows that this is a team in the past where lightning struck and he took this team to the playoffs. But he also knows that things change. This is a full season. He is not stupid. He knows that at some point, if things don't go right, he's going to hand that job off to somebody else. And that it may be sooner than later, maybe week one. We'll see how this all goes, guys. But damn it, I think that he is saying the exact type of thing that all these quarterbacks need to be understanding, and how we all need to understand. Like, this type of mentality is something that I think that is a lesson for everybody 10 years from now about the quarterback situation. I think it's the lesson to type of here with other quarterback situations in other cities if they go through something like this.
So I'm going to fully admit that as much as there was excitement when they took Shedeur and me and you were celebrating, I did say that feels to me like this will inherently sabotage the chances of both young quarterbacks. And if you want to throw Kenny Pickett in as well, because of the rep situation, and, you know, we've been over that, right? And what, yesterday they had two fields going simultaneously, whatever. And obviously, you know, Shedeur is in fourth right now. I will say, like, we got to get down to three. They've got to get down to three as soon as possible. I cannot imagine going through this room and having four of these guys. And then when you really do have the valuable reps. We're not at valuable reps, you know, point yet. That's still not going to happen until we get into training camp. But this right now, this is going to be the farthest removed. I mean, you have two separate teams. It's like not even a varsity and a JV. It's like a split squad, like a spring training. Hey, you go play that team. We'll go play this team. Like, this is bizarre.
I disagree.
I don't think you're going to get the best out of these guys now.
I disagree.
Now, but I do think you got to get down to three sooner rather than later. The longer they go with four, and we're answering questions, and we're determining which quarterbacks are going to come up to the podium today while the other two are not, I just think it guarantees that none of them will end up being good.
Nope, I disagree. I think this is a great challenge for this coaching staff to finally put this coaching staff where they... Then fine,
why
damn, do it.
There? Keep
do it if you
in.
Want to. Keep bringing them
Any
in if you want to.
Drafted quarterbacks
I think
they
this is great.
In?
You want to whittle this down to three already?
Yes.
I think this is a great challenge for this coaching staff. We could finally figure out once and for all what's excuses and what's realistic when it comes to this coaching staff. We can finally figure out whether or not Kevin Stefanski is a quarterback guru, for crying out loud. How much can you actually handle here? Or are you just going to let the media make a circus out of all this? Because so far, Shedeur Sanders and his quote-unquote circus has been anything but. He seems to have been a good teammate so far. He was a good teammate in Colorado. I can't imagine he wouldn't be a good teammate here with the Cleveland Browns, but he's been a perfectly fine teammate here with the Cleveland Browns. So is Dylan Gabriel. So is Kenny Pickett. So is Joe Flacco. It is on all of them to get this thing figured out.
So do you think Tennessee's making a mistake not having a four-headed quarterback competition?
No, they have two quarterbacks. Ward. They have two quarterbacks.
Whoa, wait, Cam Ward, four is the best.
Cam Ward.
Four is the most perfect scenario in the history of football to bring
Cam
the competitive
Ward,
spirit out of these
not,
quarterbacks.
They are not the same situation.
It's ridiculous,
Cam Ward,
and you know it, and there's
no,
a reason
not.
Nobody does this.
No, it's not.
There's a reason nobody does
because
this.
Because maybe they don't play 4D
sense.
Chess the way that Andrew Berry does. However,
laser beams.
Let me tell you this. See, I was getting mad at him, and then I threw that joke in, and now it ain't as good. Cam Ward and the Titans are a different situation. They took that guy number one with a bullet. He was the easiest number one guy. Fine, get him ready. You know you're going to play him. This, you third round, fifth round, also ran for a fifth round and another journeyman. Come on. That's different spots. If they had a Cam, if they took a guy number one overall, I'd look at him and go, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing? Get your number one ready. He's going to play. You know how this is. No. I don't got to do that now. I think what they're doing is great. Fine. I'm not going to say brilliant because that would be nuts. But what they're doing is great because I'm going to figure out once and for all which one of these quarterbacks actually has something, if any of them have anything now. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of, well, this season isn't Kevin's fault. Oh, that season isn't Kevin's fault. This is where we give Kevin credit. No, we can't give Kevin credit there. Oh, no, you see, you can't judge Kevin on this. No. We're done. You got four quarterbacks. Figure them out. You get me to six or seven wins, you ain't going anywhere. You're a good coach. And I can use this argument with other people in perpetuity if I want to. Because as much as you and I like Kevin, you got to be getting tired of that stuff yourself, aren't you? All right, is it a good idea to have four quarterbacks? And hell, I didn't know we were going to go with that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.